think Chicago has a real adjustment that they have to figure out. They moved on from Zach, from DeMar DeRozan. They're trending younger. But they got to get themselves back into those positions, either getting a top 10 pick, a top 5 pick. That's the way you rebuild. It's hard to do it via just tons of free agents and trying to figure it out that way. It's harder to build out your team.
You can easily get stuck in mediocrity in the NBA for a long time as Giddy puts that one in.
Are you using the T word right there?
No. I'm just saying it's like maybe play all of the young players, which leads to the T word.
Okay.
The Score Midday Show, 10 to 2 on 670 The Score.
Okay, we just heard Arturas Karnišovas speak. He was live from the Advocate Center. The Bulls, as we know, just got absolutely owned by the Heat, 109-90 in the play-in game final score last night. And it wasn't even that close. Heat score over 70 points before the half was even over. Bulls were down. They had only scored 46. This was a runaway of a game, and the Heat got out to a lead, never looked back. And then you hear Arturas Karnišovas just now talking about the end of season assessment. And we've got a lot of fired up people. We're going to get to your calls, I think, in the next segment. But Marshall, I think the problem is they told us that they were going to defy traditional NBA process, and they decided to gain control of their draft pick back that was protected, where after trading Zach LaVine to the Kings, who also got beat down pretty badly last night, they lose to the Mavs 120-106, they decided that they were going to try to develop players in this way, as we heard Arturas Karnišovas say just now, a.k.a. shorten the transition timeline, which to me sounds like a phrase that is akin to saying they wanted to avoid a rebuild. And they decided that this was the way they wanted to go about it. So then we thought, okay, you didn't come this far only to get this far. You should be able to beat the Heat, a team you beat three times in the regular season in the game. And that was the absolute opposite of what happened. They got embarrassed, and now you're hearing somebody say, the head of the organization from the basketball side, that it's going to be summer of 2026 before this team has financial flexibility. What are you telling us to expect for next year then?
More of the same, and it's more of the same with a bullet. And he's telling you the quiet part out loud. And that's what's so frustrating for all the fans who have either followed this season all season long, or they followed this team for one game, because we know with the viewing restrictions and the distribution of the CHSN games, last night for a lot of people was the first time they saw the Bulls. And they had heard, oh, this team's won 15 of its last 20 games. Oh, I saw that highlight of what Josh Giddey did against the Lakers at home with the big half-court shot. I saw that they beat the Nuggets. I saw before that they were in L.A. and embarrassed the Lakers. Matas Buzelis was going behind the back and dunking on Luka Doncic. All of that was nice. I'm not going to act like it wasn't nice. It was a great thrill ride. But the problem with the thrill ride is it ends, and then you walk away and you're reminiscing about something that doesn't leave the permanence, and it doesn't leave a future in the way that the Bulls need one. The Bulls need a serious reset. And I'll say this once, and I'll say it as many times as anyone on the street or on the station asks me. It starts at the top. When you talk about accountability, AK has to answer to someone. And if the person he answers to, Michael Reinsdorf, doesn't want change, then change is not a coming. And I'll say that to say that last night we saw a very clear look at where the Bulls are and where they are not. The Miami Heat, with their real life already been named All-Star, going up against he could be an All-Star next season in Kobe White. We saw the difference in what Tyler Hero, going 13 of 19 from the field and scoring at will from start to finish, versus Kobe White, I'm going to turn the ball over seven times in the game of consequence, the biggest game of the season. We saw Josh Giddey. I know he has a bad wrist, but they weren't good enough, and they weren't nearly good enough, and it started on defense. It transferred to offense. When a team like Miami hits more threes than you, you're cooked.
Okay, yeah, I know we're going to get into the game, and we will talk about that a little bit later on the show today, too. And by the way, the Bears are talking. We have coaches talking today. There's a lot happening. But you can't run that out there and then say your flexibility comes next season when you traded away your max player and you have free agents on this team. And to me, when I heard that, the first thing I thought of was you're keeping Nikola Vucevic. He has 1 year left on his deal. In his age 35 season, according to SpotRec, he's supposed to make
$21,481,481 to be specific.
For all intents and purposes, $21.5 million. This isn't just on Vooch. You signed Patrick Williams to a 5-year, $90 million deal. You just heard him talk about how disappointing he was. He played 17 minutes for you last night. You committed to the 4, you committed to the 5. Giddey is a free agent who's commanding probably a $30 million deal. And Coby White is a free agent after next season. They said they're going to get to that when the time comes. What about that, given that information and the history that we've seen of this team not making trades or holding on to players for as long as they have, say to you, this is going to be different next year?
The only way this can be different, Layla, is if they trade Nikola Vucevic. I don't care if you just get a couple of second-round picks, whatever. You get what you can get and move off of him. Why do you want to get rid of Nikola Vucevic, who's coming off arguably his best season as a Bull? It's pretty simple. They're too good with him. He's also not part of your future, so move on with him. You talk about a transition window being short. Shorten it even more. Get rid of Nikola Vucevic and find a rim-running center to play those minutes.
But the issue is we've been talking about the idea of trading Vuce for years now.
But it hasn't happened. Right. So do it. But do it.
It hasn't happened because they haven't let it happen.
Right. And so what I'm saying is Arturis Karnišovas should be like, okay, you know, we've learned from our mistakes. Let's go. I mean, the most interesting thing he said in that entire press conference, to me anyway, and do we have that clip? We don't have it, but here I'll quote what he said. Yesterday was a harsh lesson. Hopefully they can learn from that. Talking about his team and those players. Hopefully you can learn from that. Archers,
your players were not good enough. Your players are not the same level of talent that what the Heat had on the floor. And that's after they got rid of Jimmy Butler. Like, I'm not trying to insult anybody individually here, but based on what we saw purely defensively.
I think not only defensively, but we have to remind people, right? So this is the third straight year the Bulls have lost to the Heat in a play-in game. And I know a lot of people were like, well, you know, we thought it'd be better because they didn't have... Remember, last year, Jimmy Butler didn't play in that game. He was out with a sprained MCL. So he didn't play, and they still lost 112-91. Nothing has changed. Some things have changed in terms of personnel, but the problem is the identity of this team. Even though they run faster, they shoot more threes, they score more points. The bottom line is they're still not nearly good enough. And you are about to pay Josh Giddey, and it better not be without him signing an offer sheet elsewhere. But if you want to really fast forward this, as he's saying, just get rid of the players that are not part of your future now and just play with the young guys.
But what about him saying that we have financial flexibility in summer of 2026?
That's a year too late. But get financial flexibility.
Okay, so he said that. So what about what he said tells you that what you want to have happen is going to happen?
I don't know if it will or won't. I'm just telling you what should happen. He should move Vooch immediately.
It's not just Vooch. Move everybody that you can.
Well, yeah, if he could move Patrick Williams, I would say yes. But Patrick Williams has got 4 years left, including that player option in the fourth year. You think Patrick Williams is punching the player option? Unless something drastic happens. And I will say this. That's the advantage you have with playing Patrick Williams. He played 17 minutes last night, scored 2 points. Patrick Williams, if he's as bad as you think he is, you just heard him talk about how he had a tough year. Certainly they didn't expect that. Certainly Patrick didn't expect that. What do you have to lose by playing Patrick Williams? Play him. Hopefully you get worse. And then you're no longer in purgatory. You are in the middle. You are stuck in the middle. The only way out of the middle is to get really, really good by winning the lottery, which they could have up to a 9.4% chance of getting a top four pick. Could have. That's if both the Mavericks and the Heat win their games on Friday. That's what could happen. But it's more likely they're going to have a sliver of a chance to get a top pick. But they are a lottery team. They did get their pick back.
Miami is playing at Atlanta on Friday. Dallas is playing at Memphis.
The Hawks look cooked. Memphis hasn't beaten a good team but like once in the last month.
I don't know. But when that's your hope to get a still single percent chance.
Yeah, it's bad.
When they could have done,
they could have had a quarter. They could have had a 25% chance of a top four.
Now I'm gonna just say, does that mean that what we saw development wise out of guys like Kobe White and Matis Bezells was for nothing? No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. But when you consider the big picture here and how this group fits together, and I don't even want to throw Lonzo Ball into this, but again, they decided to sign him at the trade deadline. There is an argument to be made that he could have been moved. What he's done medically is incredible. There's no doubt about that. The fact that he is viable the way he is and has value to so many other NBA teams, theoretically, or at least even to the Bulls, is fabulous. All of that said, this is a group that I think is either accomplishing one of your two objectives not enough, or you don't want to rip the Band-Aid off in a certain way. I don't mind, and the NBA doesn't mind, the fans don't mind, when you tell them, we're going to, we have a goal, it is years away from now. It's okay to us if you had decided to do what, say, the Sixers are doing. Ensuring that you are going to not only get your top six protected pick, but try for the best chance you can to get a superstar. And you heard Joe Kelly ask that very thing. Unfortunately, Josh Giddey is not a superstar when you consider who that is in the league. Kobe White is not either. Does that mean they're not viable on teams? Absolutely not. They have huge value. But there's so many other people in the mix in this. You can't hope for just this every year and be okay with it.
He talked about looking to improve the roster by focusing on internal development. He laid out the four things, the four goals, to define their style of play, the shooting profile. That certainly changed. To retain their 2025 first-round pick and their picks moving forward. That has happened. How they're going to build the roster and minimize the transition time, that's where I take issue. And the focus of internal development, because lots of players did step forward. But I'll say this, to your point, he's not a superstar. Now, Josh Giddey could get better. I don't know what his ceiling looks like on defense. It's looking pretty low right now.
In playoff Josh Giddey, you could argue, even though he had good numbers again, you know, there are people who would say that unfortunately, postseason Josh Giddey, I'm sorry, I just interchange the playing with the playoffs here. It's an extra game at the end of the regular season. You're still not seeing the kind of performance you want to see. Yeah, you know, the superstars in the league will tell you who they are at this time of year, period.
I think the bottom line for AK and the Bulls is they have to recognize they are not who they think they are. That's part of the issue. They look in the mirror and see something. They're in a fun house. And they're looking in mirrors and they're not recognizing what they are. The bottom line is, when you have a chance to collect draft assets, do that. Lonzo Ball being the perfect example.
Yeah, it's just, unfortunately, when you're telling us that 2026 is how you have financial flexibility, when we know what's happening right now, you got to tell us what the next year looks like in a way that makes us understand.